Good morning, everyone. We're going to focus on a big slice of the federal budget debate that we think says a lot about the tangible impact of what's really being considered by Congress, which you'll recall is under that deadline to choose serious cuts in spending on the federal level before automatic cuts go into effect in November. Let's focus on defense. When outgoing Secretary of Defense Robert Gates made his last policy speech at the American Enterprise Institute in late May, it wasn't much noticed. But he signaled long before the current budget debate that the Pentagon needed to accept what he called a new fiscal reality. Listen to this.
Part of this analysis will entail going places that have been avoided by politicians in the past. Taking on some of these issues could entail re-examining military compensation levels in light of the fact that apart from the U.S. Army during the worst years of Iraq, all the services have consistently exceeded their recruiting and retention goals. It could mean taking a look at the rigid one-size-fits-all approach to retirement, pay and pensions left over from the last century, a more tiered and targeted system, one that weights compensation toward the most high-demand and dangerous specialties, could bring down costs while attracting and retaining the high-quality personnel we need.
Back in May, he put it on the table, Gates did, cutting military compensation and benefits, changing the way pay is organized. Gates set an examination of that in motion months ago, yet when yesterday it was reported that the Pentagon was considering changing benefits and pensions for military personnel as a cost-cutting move, when that hit the wires, it was received as, excuse the pun, something of a bombshell. Let's talk about what it actually means and what sacred cows are really on the table at the Pentagon. Josh Rogan joins us, staff writer for Foreign Policy Magazine. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
Also, Genevieve Chase is with us. She's founder and executive director of American Women Veterans and a staff sergeant in the U.S. Army Reserves. Genevieve, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Josh, let's do a little math at the beginning here. Apparently, and Leon Panetta and Hillary Clinton both had a news conference yesterday jointly to talk about the budget cuts and the so-called automatic sequestration triggers. There's two numbers to keep in mind, roughly $350 billion, which is what the Pentagon has on the table right now, and $600 billion or so under the automatic cuts that go into effect. What's the difference?
Okay, well, first of all, when Congress and the president passed the debt deal to avoid a default, what they did was put in some spending caps on what they call security spending. And security spending is defense, State Department, the intelligence community, DHS, all of these things put together. And those spending cuts projected out over 10 years compared against other projections, the administration claims would automatically save $350 billion from defense. Now, I've crunched the numbers myself, and I don't believe that, those cuts are really mandated in this bill, but that's what the administration at least predicts, and that's what the Pentagon is preparing for. That's the first thing. Then the second thing is, if this new super committee composed of Democrats and Republicans fails to come up with another $1.5 trillion worth of cuts by Thanksgiving in their secret super committee negotiations, if they fail, then there'll be an automatic trigger, and that will pull another $600 billion from the defense budget. Now, what Leon Panetta said yesterday is that if that happens, and if they're forced to cut another $600 billion from the defense budget over 10 years, that would be devastating and a doomsday scenario for the Defense Department. On the other hand, that's what the president and Congress agreed to, so there's at least a reasonable chance that the super committee will fail if you believe that Congress doesn't always succeed in coming to good compromises, and that seems to be the case. So there's at least a chance that the Pentagon is going to have to deal with those cuts.
All right, well, the way this is being framed is that the sequestration, the $600 billion, is sort of the meat slicer, one-size-fits-all cuts approach, whereas the strategic approach, which is proposed by the Pentagon itself, would more target things and maintain readiness. Listen to this quote from Gates from that same speech. "This process must be about identifying options for the president and the Congress to ensure that the nation acknowledges and accepts additional risks in exchange for reduced investment in the military." Do you think it's going to be the case that Americans understand we're less safe because we can't invest as much in the military as we used to? It's a new world.
Well, there's one thing is saying that we have a problem, and another thing is doing something about the problem. And what Gates was doing is he was sounding the alarm. He was saying that these days of ever-increasing defense budgets are over, and we're going to have to make some hard choices, including benefits, including programs, including what we choose to commit to do around the world in terms of our military and our protection of world security in different parts of the globe. And he was trying to be very honest. Now, whether or not that will actually happen when the rubber meets the road simply remains to be seen. $350 billion of cuts over 10 years, that doesn't necessarily ensure that big changes are coming.
Right.
And Leon Panetta knows that. So there's ways that they could play games and not really make tough choices.
Josh
now,
Rogan is...
billion cuts.
Josh, hold on one second, because Josh, hold on just one second, because we want to get a sort of feel for what people who are active duty might actually think about some of these sacred cows being on the table. Josh Rogan is a staff writer for Foreign Policy magazine. Genevieve Chase, did you hear Gates saying that compensation packages on the table, benefits on the table? What's the feeling around the sort of active duty world of a reaction to what this is all about here?
I think in light of the fact that we've just gone through what we have politically in Washington over the budget, people are starting to think that this is actually a serious consideration. The papers that service members read have all been running it, and everybody's been watching it very closely. But I think the general consensus from my friends and from people I've talked to who are still in the service is that you really can't compare active duty military service to other career fields and then sort of project that into our retirement plans, and it's going to be really difficult to implement, and it's going to be, I think it's just not going to get a lot of support either from the military or even from America, especially for people who've been serving in a decade of war,
A lot of worry out there. Before we go, react to this then. Genevieve Chase, Gates said, let's change the compensation package to make it a different scale for people who are, say, Navy SEALs versus staff sergeants. How does that go down?
Well, I think what he's talking about is people who, for example, don't have a job that takes them directly in contact or outside the wire on a daily basis. And how they're going to quantify that is going to be really what is difficult, whether it's based on the actual job, the exposure, the title, like a U.S. Army Ranger or a Special Forces versus, an Army analyst. They're going to have to look at those differences because there are soldiers and service members that are leaving the wire on a daily basis who are in harm's way that aren't necessarily in those job and career fields
right.
as well.
But it's all about quantifying it, outlining the challenges there for the Pentagon as they really put the sacred cows on the table in the budget debate. Genevieve Chase is founder and executive director of American Women Veterans and staff sergeant in the U.S. Army Reserves. Thanks to you. And Josh Rogan, thanks as always, staff writer for Foreign Policy magazine. Where will the rubber hit the road on the defense budget? It's one of our focuses here on The Takeaway. Thanks, guys.